Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Myri, 4 p.m. How are you? Good. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. Have you had breakfast in bed this morning? Give me a wave if you did breakfast in bed. Oh, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. You need to take every guy in this place, you need to take a note out of her husband's book this morning, today, this afternoon, wherever we are. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. Hope you've had a great start to the day and we're all coffeed up, lunched up, brunched up, ready for a service. Before I continue on, I just want to take a moment just to acknowledge that for every single person in this place, for some people in this place, it may not be a great day on Mother's Day. It might be a bit of a difficult day, a bit of a rough day. Perhaps it's because of some kind of loss or grief. Perhaps it's infertility. Perhaps it's just simply the fact that in a pandemic world that you are unable to see your mum because she's interstate or overseas. And so we just wanted to extend our love to you from Nations Church and let you know that this is a safe place for you to process this pain. It's a safe place for you to encounter God and His comfort and His peace. And I just want to commend you as well for choosing to be in the house today. Well done. It was brave and just want to encourage you in that. But I'm really excited to bring a word to you tonight. I feel like God gave me something even while we were in worship to share with you. So I'm keen to share that. But I bring my greetings from Port Kennedy campus. We left yesterday and we got here in time for the 4 p.m. It's so great to be here in the house and just want to take a moment just to, gets you every time, just want to take a moment to honour our senior pastors, Ken and Chrissy Lee. They're incredible, aren't they? And they just choose to believe in us again and again and encourage us, so thank you. So appreciate you guys and our campus pastors here, Pastor Rick and Pastor Beck. I tell you what, you guys have got it good here at Myri. They're awesome, aren't they? They're so, so good, so good. I've got a word to share with you tonight that I hope encourages every mum in the room, but also every person in the room. And we're going to just get straight into it. Is that okay? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 18. And this account is about a woman called Sarah and her husband Abraham. And if you don't usually read the Bible, this is set in Old Testament times. They lived in a very kind of tribal way, and you'll hear mention of tents. That's because that's what they lived in, because they were moving around a lot. And we're just going to pick this up from the beginning of Genesis 18. It says that the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and he noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I'll return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" What a statement, hey? What version is that? Oh my gosh. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." And so tonight, this afternoon, I just want to share a thought with you entitled, "What Are You Laughing At?" What are you laughing at? And I wonder if you've ever laughed at the promises of God. I wonder if you, like Sarah, looked at your reality and looked at God's promises and just thought, man, that's ridiculous. Like that just cannot be true. You know, Sarah looked at herself, looked at Abraham, paid attention to what God said and was like, that ship has sailed. That is not going to happen. That is not going to be. And so she laughed. And can I suggest to you that behind that laughter was a good dose of doubt. And behind that laughter was a good dose of shame and pain and embarrassment. You see, she was an infertile woman in Old Testament times. And as a woman in those times, that was your sole purpose. That was your highest purpose, your highest honor, was to bring many children into the world. And if you didn't do that, then you carried a sense of reproach and disgrace. And Sarah was an old woman. She had endured this for decades. And in that endurance, she had drawn some conclusions in her heart. She'd made some decisions. She'd looked around and she decided that this desire that she had in her heart was never going to be fulfilled. She'd made a decision and drawn a conclusion that this was just how it's going to be. She would be a disgrace to her husband and to her family for the rest of her days. You know, as mothers, we can often look at what's before us. We can look at our families and our kids and all of the chaos and the stuff that goes on around that, and we can wonder if that's ever going to turn out. We can think, will the desires of our hearts ever be fulfilled? You know, it doesn't matter whether you're in the throes of nappies and tantrums or if you're in the middle of arguments and homework or teen angst and having to start letting go a little or maybe a lot. Maybe you've got young adults who are hardly ever home, just want to borrow the car. Or maybe you've got children that are all grown up now and having kids of their own. It doesn't matter where you are and what stage of or season of life that you're in, there is always going to be that sense of uncertainty about what the future holds. You can look at moments or seasons or situations and draw conclusions about how the future is going to be. You can make decisions in your heart based on the reality that's presented before you, so much so that when the word of God is declared, well, it's just enough to make you laugh, right? And you know when someone prophesies to you about what a great difference your child's going to make in the world, but you've just signed off on their third detention slip for that term? I may or may not be speaking from experience. When you haven't slept properly for 3 years and you called the plumber today because they flushed another toy down the toilet. And children are a blessing from God, a quiver in you. An arrow in your quiver and blah, blah, blah. When your child is just choosing everything, choosing to do everything but what you trained them to do. Or your family is constantly at odds and you know that God's called you to build the kingdom together. We know that this contrast between God's promise and our reality isn't confined only to motherhood. For all of us, there's some areas of our lives that don't line up with the promises of God. It's that relationship you're believing in, but it's nowhere inside. It's that word that's prophesied over you for healing, but you're still every day getting up, facing that pain, facing that illness, that depression, that anxiety, it's still there. It's those finances that are needed but so out of reach. It's that business that God gave you that word for but you just can't seem to get it off the ground. You can look at your reality and try and reconcile it with God's promise for his provision, his restoration, it's your healing and think, man, this is way too hard. It's way easier to laugh at that than to believe. But you know, God heard Sarah's silent laugh. And he chose not to ignore it. He chose not to leave it unanswered. Though no one else heard it, God responded to that silent laugh in the tent. And in response to Sarah's laugh of doubt, God brought a reminder of his ability and his promise. This is what he said in Genesis 18:14. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return this time next year and Sarah will have a son." You know that word hard? In the Hebrew, that word means to be surpassing or extraordinary. Over and over again, it's translated as wonderful. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? It's a rhetorical question, but it's also an invitation. It was an invitation God was extending to Sarah, and it's an invitation he extends to every single one of us today to say, is anything too wonderful for me to perform in your life? It's an invitation to find faith again for your future. It's an invitation to find faith again for those dreams and hopes that you've put to the side, that you've locked away, that you've drawn conclusions about and decided they're never going to come to pass. It's an invitation to step forward in faith and begin to believe in the promises of God. Can I suggest to you today that we need to make a shift? We need to make a shift, and I'm preaching to myself today as much as all of you in this room. We need to make a shift from laughing at God's promises and despairing at our inability to living in his promises and depending on his ability. We need to make that shift. When we do that, that's when we're going to find faith for our future. That's when we're going to start to see the promises of God come to pass in our lives. You know, I've been in situations where my imaginations about my future have kept me paralyzed, where I've looked at my kids and my marriage and my family situation and I've wondered, how is this going to all be okay? How are we going to work out all right? I've just messed up too much and I've made too many mistakes. And I drew conclusions in my heart. But you know what? I was looking at our future through my ability. I was looking at my future through my mistakes, through the broken and failing things in me. Internally, I would laugh at God's promises. And I use that Aussie phrase, yeah, right. Yeah, right. They weren't for me. They weren't for us. How could they be? They were so, so different to what my reality was. But you know what, Paul? He writes how we can live in his promises. He writes how we can live in his promises when we're not seeing them yet. And he writes this in Hebrews 6:18. He says, "Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." Paul uses this imagery of an anchor because in New Testament times, an anchor represented hope. It represented hope. An anchor brings stability to a ship or a boat. And there's a couple of things that you need to do with an anchor to make sure that it does that. The first thing is that the anchor needs to sit on some kind of surface where it can get a grip, where it doesn't move, it doesn't shift, where it doesn't get pulled and shifted around by the current. And you know who the anchor is for us is God. We know there's no fault in him. He's unshakable. He's unmovable. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our anchor. And we can rely on him to have a good grip on wherever he needs to attach himself to, whatever he is leaning on. But the other thing that we need to do for an anchor to perform its work properly is we need to tie the boat to the anchor or tie the anchor to the boat. You can tell I'm not a boatie. I don't know which way around that's supposed to go. But as long as the anchor is tied to the boat, we're good. And maybe you've seen those videos where the sailor picks the anchor up and he throws it overboard. He forgot to tie it off and he just stands there and he watches that thing sink to the bottom of the ocean. it disappears. And you know, it doesn't matter how big the anchor is. If you aren't tied to it, you are going to drift out to sea. You are going to drift out to sea. And you know, it's not simply enough to acknowledge that He exists, that God is out there somewhere and He is some higher power. It is not simply enough to believe that. We have to tie ourselves to Him. We have to place all of our trust and all of our hope in Him. And so rather than allowing the discrepancy between our reality and His promises to cause us to laugh with doubt, we need to allow the discrepancy between our reality and His promises to draw us to a place of hope in Him. Of hope in Him. This is what it looks like to live in His promises. And like an anchor finds its holding ground beneath the waves, out of sight, we too find our holding ground in the unseen. Not what is seen, but in the unseen. We don't find our holding ground in circumstances or people or organizations. We find our holding ground in the unseen. It is in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, that Hebrews 6 scripture says it's this hope that leads us through the curtain into God's sanctuary. It's this hope that we have in God that leads us into His presence, into an encounter and an experience in His presence that you would not have if you did not have to strive to lean in to have that hope in Him. It's a gift that is precious to those who are waiting to see the promise fulfilled. The presence of God, it brings a hope that nothing else can bring. And you know, it doesn't matter where you have your kids' birthday party. It doesn't matter where you take them for family holidays. It doesn't matter what brand they wear. It doesn't matter where you get their haircut. Nothing will secure their future like a mother who enters into the presence of God with hope in her heart. Nothing will do that more than that. Because you see, in the presence of God, we're reminded of who He is. And we're reminded of His ability. We're reminded that in His presence, that His ability far outweighs ours. We're reminded that in His presence, His grace far outweighs any mistake that we could make. We're reminded in His presence that He has an abundance that far exceeds any lack we could have, that He has a strength for every one of our weaknesses, and that in our doubt, we will find Him to be faithful. We will find Him to be faithful. It's no wonder that Scripture says this. It says that in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. It is where we find our confidence for the future. It's where we find and are reminded that He is faithful and He is continuing to do work in our lives. You know, in Romans 5:3, Paul writes this about hope. He says that we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not, what? Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, this hope that is established in us as we wait to see the promise fulfilled, as we push through every tribulation and trial, as we see our character develop, this kind of hope is a hope that does not disappoint. It's a hope that is built on faith and patience. It's a hope that finds its full assurance in God. But you know, there is a hope that disappoints, and it's a hope that we place in circumstances. It's a hope we place in other people. It's a hope that we place in organizations and things that do not have the power to fulfill the promises of God in our lives. It is only God who can fulfill His promises. And He is faithful to do that. You know, I'm a finisher. I like to finish things. If someone drinks juice in our house, you don't leave two mouthfuls in the bottom of the bottle and put it back in the fridge. You have to finish that juice. You don't leave one piece of pizza. you don't leave a third of pasta sauce in the bottle after you cook pasta. My husband's not here, so I can say that. I'm a finisher and I like to see things finished, but you know what? God is a finisher and He finishes things well. He never leaves anything unfinished. He never leaves anything undone. In Philippians 1:6, it says that we can be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, if someone makes a promise to you, the onus is on them to fulfill it. The onus is on them to fulfill it. If someone makes a promise to you, it's not up to you to make sure that that promise comes to pass. The promise maker becomes the promise keeper. The promise maker becomes the promise keeper. And that is who God is to us. The onus is on Him. Every promise that He made to you, the onus is on Him to keep that promise. The onus is on Him to fulfill that promise in your life. And you know what? You can trust Him because He's a finisher. He's a finisher. You know, mums, that work that He began in you, that work that He began in you the day you held that little baby in your arms, He's going to complete it. That work that He began in your family, in your children, you can be confident that He will be finishing what He started. The Bible tells us that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. You know, it's time that we stop laughing at the promises of God out of that attitude of doubt and started to believe and live in that place of His promise. You know, those promises you were waiting for, those promises and hopes that He placed in your heart for your family's future, they can be completed in Him. Your part to play is to keep trusting, keep praying, keep declaring that word over your life until it comes to pass. Keep yourself tied to the anchor of your soul until you see that promise come to pass. You know, I didn't share this morning at Port Kennedy, but I just really felt this on my heart. And I remember a season when my children were young, and to be honest, I wasn't coping. To be honest, I spent every day, I would get to the end of my day and I would look back and all I could see was failure and my inability to parent my children. And God's so good, you know, because I'm not that person anymore. But I remember standing one day after losing my temper again by raising my voice again. And God just whispered in my heart. And I won't share what He said right now, but what I just want to let you know is that from that moment, I decided I wasn't going to just depend on my ability anymore, but I was going to rely on His. And I was going to rely on His word. And I was going to rely on His presence. And I wasn't going to look through my ability anymore at the future for my family or my children, but I was going to look at what the Word said and what God said. You know, in 1 Peter 1, he writes this. He says, "We have the prophetic word." This is the word that's spoken by God, "firm as steel, and you will do well to pay close attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place." That's what His word is to you. That's what His promise is to you. It's a light shining in a dark place. And pay attention to it until the day breaks through and the morning star rises in your heart. That's His promise to you. That as you anchor yourself, as you tie yourself to the anchor of your souls and you depend on Him and you rely on Him and you see your future through His promises and His ability, that's a light in a dark place. That's a light revealed to you to encourage you and to spur you on and to build you up until you see that promise come to pass. So come on, why don't we stand all over this place right now? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, Sarah, she laughed in doubt. She laughed in doubt, But there is another woman in the Bible who laughs. And she has a different kind of laugh. In Proverbs 31, it says that she laughs without fear of the future. She laughs without fear of the future. She laughed with a laugh of confidence, a laugh of hope, a laugh of assurance. She laughed at the future of her family with full confidence in her God, the anchor of her soul. It's the laugh of a person that knows that her future is securely found in Him. It's the laugh of someone who's living in His promises, reliant on His ability. And you know, that's the kind of person that I aspire to be. I don't know about you, but what I want to be laughing at is my future without fear. What I want to be laughing at is with a full assurance that God has everything in hand, that I can trust Him and His promises to come to pass in my life. And you know, right now, I just want to shift gears a little bit. And I just want to address every person who's in this room tonight. Maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you've been here before, but you know, you're living without having that anchor in your life. You're living without having that Jesus who's going to lead you and guide you in the things that He has for your future. You know, in the Word it says that He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, to bring us a hope and a future, to bring good things to pass in our life. That's His promise to us. That's His promise to you. But you know, to enter into that purpose that He has for you, to enter into that future that He has for you, the first step is to have a relationship with Him. The first step is to have a relationship with Him. And how do you do that? How do you enter into a relationship with Jesus? Well, it's so easy because you see, most of the work's been done. All you need to do is simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and speak it out that He is Lord of your life, and He will come in. And you'll begin that life with Him. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to do that this afternoon. We're just going to all bow our heads and close our eyes and consider the state of our hearts in this place. And if you're here now, and you're like, yeah, that's me. I've been living my life without Him, and I'd like to get to know Jesus. I'd like to live my life with Him. I want to live my life in that place of His promise. I want to live my life with His lead, with His guidance, and allow Him to be the anchor for my soul. If that's you here tonight, just while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, we'd love to say a prayer with you. We're just going to all say it together. But if you want to say yes to that invitation to come to relationship with Jesus, I just love for you to let me know. Just by raising your hand, I'll acknowledge it, and then you just place it back down. I'm just looking across this room just to see if that's you. Just let me know by raising your hand. Is that you in this place? You know, He loves you with a love that will never stop. He'll never stop inviting you. He'll never stop wanting to draw you near. Is that you in this place? He died for you. He loves you. Do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior and come into relationship with Him? I don't see any hands in this place right now, but we're just going to keep our eyes closed a little bit longer. Because I really sense that God wants to do something in our hearts. That God wants to do a work. You know, His promises are a light in a dark place. His Word is a light in a dark place. And He's inviting you to believe again, that there is nothing that is too wonderful for Him to perform in your life. And so if you're believing for something in this place, if you're someone who looks at your reality and looks at the promise of God and you so desire that promise but you just can't see how it's ever going to come to pass, that's okay. But I just want to invite you right now just to place your hand on your heart. Take that act of faith to say, yeah, that's me. I need help to believe. I want to pursue the promise of God, but it just looks so different from where I'm at right now. Just place your hand on your heart all across this place. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're just going to stay in this attitude just a little bit longer. You know, I'm going to pray for everyone with their hand on their heart, but before I do that, I just want to pray for you. If you're someone who's believing to conceive a child, that you're like Sarah, you're waiting, believing, hoping. And I just want to tell you a picture that I saw when I was preparing. And it was like of this hand coming to just put this gentle ointment across an open wound. And I felt like God wanted to say to you, He wants to heal your heartbreak. He wants to come into that place of your pain and your longing and bring healing and peace. And encourage you to believe again. Encourage you to believe again. Encourage you to believe again. To hold fast again. To have faith again. And so I just want to pray for you. And we're going to pray for everyone. And with their hands on their heart, you just keep your hand there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your promise. We thank you that you are the promise maker and the promise keeper. We thank you, Lord, that you will bring about your plan and your purpose for every person's life who's got their hand on their heart right now. And I pray for those who are waiting to conceive. Lord God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would honor them. I pray that you would heal pain from the past, but you would bring hope for the future. I pray, Lord, for your promise to be fulfilled on their life. I pray for that desire in their heart not to be put to the side, but to be lifted up to you again. Lord, I pray for every person who's believing for a promise to be fulfilled in this place. I pray for faith to rise today. I pray for belief to rise today. I thank you, Lord, that nothing is too wonderful for you, that you will bring about your plan and your purpose for every person. I pray for a release of faith. I pray for a release of faith today in Jesus' name. Restore hearts, restore minds, restore souls, we pray. Through provision of every need, we pray for healing of families. We pray for children to come home. We pray for lives to be restored. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's worship Him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.